Hi, everyone. This is Neil Douglas, and this is American Truth Finders, and I'm your host for the show. Tonight, we got a great guest, folks. I'm going to tell you what, you may not have heard of Matt Bracken, but you will know all about him when we're done. And he's an author of Enemies, Foreign and Domestic, Domestic Enemies, Foreign Enemies and Traitors, and Castigo K. And I got to remind you that this is a call-in show, so please feel free to call in and ask Matt any questions you might have. Remember, no question is a dumb question. Call your friends and tell them to tune in. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring Matt right on. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful night here in Florida.
Well, I wish it was where I'm at, but it's been a great day. Matt, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and especially the fact that you did get a little bit of short notice, but you give the folks a little bio about yourself. Would you do that?
Well, it's pretty road full of a lot of twists and turns. I went to school in Maryland and then Virginia, and was in the Navy. I was a frogman, Navy SEAL for a couple of years, not a career. And since then, I've done a bunch of stuff. Lately, the last decade or so, writing novels, and that's why I'm here on the radio, for the novels, not for the rest of it. Because the novels are, I think, they're fiction, but I think that they deal with the reality that we can see that sometimes, you know, you have to go out and hunt for, because what's portrayed, you know, in the media is maybe not the reality that you and I understand.
Well, you know, something you, and it's interesting you said that, because I did read some of your recent essays that I thought were extremely important. And your website, for folks to see these, your not only your books but your recent essays, is enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Am I correct?
Right. That'll take you to a link that'll a page on the website which has all my essays listed, and you can just click on the links and read them. It's short stories and essays.
Okay.
I kind of pivoted to that a few years ago, because it's so long between novels. There were a few kind of message essays and short stories I wanted to promulgate, you know, in the time that would take multiple years to write another novel. So that's what I sort of did the last, say, 2 or 3 years. And most of them people can just, you know, read just by clicking on the titles of the essays. I did bundle them together on Kindle just for convenience for folks that are, you know, Kindle users, but all the short stuff is out there to read, and that's what I really hope people do read.
Now, your books, because I did post your books on my website, okay? They can be ordered through Amazon.com, am I correct?
That's the main portal, like everybody. You know, Amazon is the
right.
10-ton gorilla in the room, you know, and everybody else is just policing up the corners and scraps.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to get to tonight's subject. There's a lot of talk going on. There's a lot of, I don't know if it's conspiracy, Matt. I don't know if there's truth behind it. I'm not sure what to make of it. I do believe something is going on, and maybe we can work our way through it and kind of pinpoint down to what the what this is all about. Jade Helm 15. You know, you have people that are thinking it's a conspiracy. Other people think it's they're going to take over the country with Jade Helm 15. Tell me what you might have as an opinion as we start the show on Jade Helm 15.
Well, first of all, nobody serious or that's, you know, not really completely out of their mind thinks that Jade Helm 15 is an actual martial law plan. Let's put that out there first of all. But that's not to say that it's that the cover stories and the excuses explaining it, the various levels of it, the various purposes that are put out for the public consumption compared to, you know, realities of why they're doing it. I'm not saying it's a benign event, but people can put out of their mind that it's an actual, like, martial law plan set for this summer. Not going to happen. Any more than, like, you know, let's say if an asteroid did strike America, then FEMA and everybody else would swing in with whatever they had. But short of an asteroid hitting or, like, a Iranian nuke being fired at Washington, don't expect anything like that.
Okay,
what we can expect is a steady militarization. We're seeing this even out of Baltimore. Overt calls now to nationalize all local police. Basically have them switched in and controlled from the White House. That is happening. That's what Jade Helm is part of in a larger sense.
Okay. Let me interrupt you for just a minute, because that brings to a point that I wanted to ask you, since you're saying for people to be cautious, don't overreact, et cetera, basically is what you're saying.
Right.
This summer. Yeah.
Jade Helm 15.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question real quick. Governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has ordered members of the Texas military to monitor federal troops in the upcoming 2-month training exercise.
Right, and I think that's good. And I see also that, and I think that it's inadvertent. I don't think this is any part of a planned rollout, but I've been digging so deeply into this as much as I can. You're looking at all kind mm-hmm. of stories, links, local stories, blog site entry, story. Anyway, it seems now that the military is saying anybody that's, whether they're dressed as a jihadi or a redneck or a soldier or an FBI agent, they've got to be wearing an armband signifying that they're part of the exercise. They can't be playing this mind game with the public where they're just going to tell you, hey, if you see some crazy jihadis running down the street or some crazy rednecks, maybe it's just part of an exercise, so get used to it. They are at least saying that all the players are going to be wearing an armband, and I'm cool with that. All right, it won't affect the guys that are genuinely doing some type of Robin Sage overland transit, land navigation, a rucksack hump from New Mexico into Texas, for example. I don't think that it won't bother them to have an armband on, but these guys that are doing urban warfare ops, I think it's absolutely insanely stupid to have anybody in any kind of urban or semi-urban Texas locale playing scenarios with rifles, whether or not they have blank firing adapters on them or not. It's just stupid. And they should absolutely be held to wearing an armband, identifying them as a Jade 15 player, actor, role player, whatever the hell you want to call them. I guarantee you, the actual military guys won't mind wearing it because they have to do that in combat. American flag patch there, etc. So I think we should be the same. No undercover ops in America with guns running around conditioning us into accepting this kind of nonsense.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, in my opinion. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. This should happen. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't trust the Obama administration from trying to pull some kind pull some kind of trick on the American people. I mean, he's lied to us how many times?
There are multiple levels to this. I mean, you can look at this. This is like a very complicated textile. This is 3D chess. Another level is, yes, they would like to provoke in a larger sense. Remember, these are the people that thought Fast and Furious would be a cool idea. Hey, let's just pour guns into Mexico. We'll tell these gun stores that they're part of an operation and they have to cooperate with the ATF. They're going to give them to anybody and everybody at our orders. We're going to dump them into Mexico where the homicide rate will jack up. Then we'll turn around and we'll say it's the result of lax gun laws in America. These are evil people. They've crossed the Rubicon for mass murder. All the little boys and girls down in the fusion centers should really be paying close attention to these events. So there is a level where it's a provocation, and they're hoping that somebody's going to go Waco insane on them and start shooting.
Well, do you think that's going to happen? Because I think that could happen.
Right, but we need to be smarter than that, okay? And don't, that's called recon by fire. When you fire into the woods because you think some gorillas are hiding in there, you're just hoping they shoot, because then they're dummies who don't have fire discipline. You see, this is called recon by fire. It's in a PSYOP level.
Let's reverse the situation, and let's say you've got people out there, because Texas is not the only state that this is being done in. They've got, sure. I think, what is it, New Mexico?
It's the whole Southwest. Look, the whole. I wrote about this in a story called Operation Jade Conditioning.
Okay.
I believe this is, the larger purposes of this are twofold. All right, number one, the larger purpose is not an innocent robin sage. The robin sage elements, and I'm using that as an expression of people of art, people that aren't aware, in North Carolina, when green berets do their, like, SEAL training, their buds training, part of that is doing a big, long-term, you know, I'm not sure if it's weeks or what, where they play gorillas in the North Carolina woods, okay? And they've done this for years in the same counties, and there's, like, various sheriffs and businessmen who, like, play gorilla leader or militia leader. But it's in counties around the area of Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune and all down there where all good patriotic Americans, they're playing the game. They use that, which everybody understands, that's good, that's benign, to say, oh, it's just going to be just like a robin sage, only it's going to go clear across the West. Now, to believe that that's not just a cover story, you would have to believe, well, they need to use the whole West to do this because they must be planning massive special operations, paradrops, and you know, other forms of insertion into an area equivalent to Egypt in the west, all the way to Iran in the east, and up to Syria in the north, and down to Yemen in the south. Now, if anybody believes that the people in the White House who couldn't be bothered to rescue Benghazi a couple hundred miles from Italy in NATO bases, they're suddenly going to drop hundreds and hundreds of special operations teams all over the Middle East. Anybody that believes that, which I call like the Robin Sage excuse for Jade Helm, is a fool or an idiot or a dupe. So the only reason to have an area that covers from California to Texas is because you're thinking of operations from California to Texas. And namely, what I'm speaking of is an integrated exercise testing federal control of all the levers of violence, so to speak, military, the sheriffs, the state police, the FBI, the FEMA, the AT, we're doing a test. And now, if you ever saw the movie, the Tom Cruise movie, Operation Valkyrie?
Yes.
The cover for what they did as their coup was, well, we're just going to do this office exercise. It's like reserve call-up drill. We're going to do a reserve call-up drill, and we're going to do it a few times. Remember, the German soldiers were getting pissed off because they had to fall out and form up and jump in their trucks, and it was just a drill?
Yeah.
Well, you can see how people that are trying to conduct a putsch or a coup or a takeover will very frequently use a military drill as cover. That's why I called my essay Operation Jade Conditioning. You can do this a few summers in a row, and by the time it's Jade Helm 17, by then, you might say, hey, man, this is the perfect time. Let's just do Jade Helm, only we're going to call it Operation Save America, and it'll probably happen like in the middle of a war with Iran or China or somebody, that they're going to say, you know, there's too many acts of sabotage, and they're using the Internet, by goodness. So that's the end. We've got to close down the Internet until we sort all this out. Nobody will know anything about anything until the whole clampdown has happened, and no doubt they'll use an exercise, Jade Helm 16, 17, 18, as their template. What they're practicing is how to take over America by ensuring that you've got all the levers of power. And this is the exercise part. Let's say they find out that in half of the West, say rural counties, the sheriffs are not cooperating. The sheriffs are calling the local NRA, if you will, you know, the local militias, So they will learn, well, if we're ever going to do this, we just do not invite the sheriffs to play. We'll use state police because we've got them firmly under control. That's what I'm saying is it's an exercise. They're learning.
What they're learning is how to exercise
complete control in a takeover in America.
Okay, let me just interrupt you for a minute because I'm going to ask you this question. You know and I know and many of our listeners know, there are people out there that are going to panic somewhere along the line seeing this, and in their mind they're going to believe that the military is coming in to take over, put people in FEMA camps.
That's why I'm talking to you. That's why I'm talking to you.
That's why I'm speaking directly.
That's why tonight, Neil, do you know who you're speaking to? I mean, not me, you. I mean, the other people, the other ears out there, okay? I don't mean me, you, okay? The other ears that we're speaking to tonight, it's not CBS. I'm speaking directly to the boys and girls down in the Fusion Center. That's why I go on podcast shows like this. It's a direct pipeline. The only people I know for sure are listening are the people that have a reason to listen. So I address them directly as people of honor that took the same oath I did.
I guess what I was thinking of, though, is you get somebody out there that decides they're going to defend themselves, or a group that decides to defend themselves.
And I'm speaking to them, too, but I have very little hope of reaching them, Neil, because we're reaching, you know, a very small audience based on 350 million Americans. We're not reaching many people tonight. So I can't really affect what Billy Bob does if he thinks that it's like here comes the Zionist occupation government and goes crazy and starts shooting some guys at like doing a little Waco on the highway. I can't affect them because they're not listening, you see? So I can't address my comments to them because what's the point? But I can address my comments to the Fusion Center kids because they are listening. And I can caution them that that this operation and other operations like it, it's not just Jade Helm 15, they exist on multiple levels. And don't be a dupe and say, like, at the basic staff sergeant and below level, yes, it's just Robin Sage, we're going to be paradropped here, we're going to march overland, blah, blah, blah. I get that. They will believe, that's what they do believe is the purpose of this whole thing. But at the senior executive service level, and you know, the Fusion Center kids will have to look up references, some of these references. I'll have to look them up. But at the senior executive service level, okay, it's another level. It's a control exercise. Who's going to complain? Is there going to be a pushback where there are two stars that say, I'm sorry, I won't do this? Like with what we saw from Fort Lauderdale with the white vans.
Right.
If the military is tasked with going in and taking everybody out of a building and then handing them over to the gentleman across the street with the white vans, and the gentleman across the street with the white vans are from some DHS, FEMA, et cetera, organization where they're taken to relocation centers, then that general has to know right now, and I'm talking about both military and senior executive service, that that stinks and you shouldn't be a part of that. And if part of the exercise is who will just seamlessly integrate military takedowns and FEMA takeaways, that you shouldn't participate in that. People are going to pay attention, and we're going to, you know, figure out anybody that cooperates with that type of a scenario is definitely an oath breaker and has honor.
Let me just ask you a question, because I don't know if you've heard this or not, but you know, there many of the people that are looking at Jade Helm or trying to are putting the connection of Jade Helm and the closing of Walmarts around these different states in these same Jade Helm practice areas.
I have several things to say about that. Number one, even if this is just background noise, and it's, let's say we did a ton of research and it turned out that this is just a purely random happenstance. All right, or that it has a logical consequence of some type of union activity where, like, these were hotbeds of union activity and Walmart was, like, putting the kibosh on all of them to just, like, drop the floor out from under that little, you know, incipient movement. Right. Either way, there could be logical explanations, okay? And another factor is when you are trying to discredit conspiracy theories, you create little brush storms that you can cause panic and make people seem hysterical. So anybody that's like coming up with pictures that turn out to be from 5 years ago of another thing, like a train with shackles on them, here's the FEMA trains, but it's actually tie downs for cars. And the picture was posted 5 years ago on some train website. Okay. And then somebody posted, they saw this last week in Wyoming. and it's like going outside the FEMA camp. You can make up BS stories and get people hysterical and scared. I understand that. Now, some of that trash comes from, I think, .gov sides, even if they're sheeped up several, you know, permutations into being just studies and foundations. Some of that stuff comes from that. But some of it is, I really detest these guys that write what I call faction. I'm not naming names, but there are people out there that write garbage and pretend that it's like leaked from a secret high-ranking government insider, and there are people dim enough to believe that these things are true. And they're just, you know, I wish that they would, like I do with novels, this is a novel. I mean, I think they deal with potentially realistic scenarios, but I call it a novel. But when guys try to add octane to their fiction by calling it nonfiction, I think it's very detestable. And it gets into the wilderness of mirrors of who's provoking who. Is it real? Is it just some right-winger who's a kook, or is it some government guy trying to provoke the kooky right-wingers?
Well, I think that's
out
a possibility.
Dangerous ground here.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Matt.
Well, I mean,
but,
with the Walmart thing, you can't don't go down the rabbit hole. Look with a very careful, crafty, jaundiced eye at all of these things that are like too good to be true stories, like the FEMA camp shackle train that turns out to be a car train, and those are tie downs, or Walmart's closing. Remember, the .gov guys can also put out the stuff just to see who, you know, which right-wing social network analysis neuron links start firing up when they insert a false story out there. See, they can justify that under social network analysis research. But at the same time, they can use the results of it for nefarious purposes, as I've written about in my novels and also in my short story called What I Saw at the Coup. Which
I read that.
Yeah, that's my short fiction, which is like kind of a takeover scenario, which would be during a short, nasty war with Iran or something similar, where they could excuse a shutdown of media and internet.
And speaking of internet, over. Matt, let me ask you this question. What are your feelings right now about the fact that the Obama administration wants to take control of the internet?
That's what fundamental transformation means. I mean, we're talking, you know, hello Venezuela on the way to Cuba, because they honestly and truly believe that Fidel Castro is a hero and Hugo Chavez was a hero, and that lying, just like Muslims in their efforts, 1,400-year effort to take over the world, Marxists are like vampires. They're just as persistent, you know. It's the same thing with, you know, Muslims and the 72 virgins. You got to drive a damn stake through their heart, and it's got to be made out of holly, and it better be, you know, silver-tipped, because they're just tougher to kill than Dracula, because they're true believers. You know, they never quit. So, to me, Obama is frankly a communist traitor mole, you know, raised on the lap, probably being fondled by Frank Marshall Davis in Hawaii, with his commie grandparents and mother's blessing, as he learned about the evils of capitalism and how to burrow into the, you know, into the entire establishment and play the Harry Belafonte happy black guy until you get to the top, and then bammo, he's in charge. It's like we've got Benedict Arnold and he's in the White House.
You got to believe that
he
one.
He can't come out and put up the hammer and sickle flag. He's got to be more subtle, but it's the same purpose.
Well, sure. Let me give out our phone number again, because I'm just wondering if we got some callers out there or people out there that want to call in but are kind of a little bit
concerned. Don't worry, Neil. The right audience is already listening.
All right. But anyway, our 888-627-6008. If you got any questions or if you got an opinion, please throw it out at us, because I tell you what, Matt, I gotta say one thing. You know your business. I can tell already. You know what I mean? You're not playing a game here. With people's minds.
No. Oh no, this is now maybe I'm out of my mind. I'll let the listener and the reader decide. But I would ask them to, if they read anything I've written on the subject, would be what I saw at the coup, which is fiction. But for the boys and girls down in the fusion centers, I would encourage them all to read. It might be long. It might take them like a half an hour, and it might be a lot of reading for them. But I would encourage them to read Dear Mr. Security Agent, which explains why please don't ask us to give up any of our guns, because we'll take it as a very hostile action. you know, and it would lead to unintended consequences. So I would encourage all of those listeners to read Dear Mr. Security Agent. And if they have time after that for a little bit of light fiction, Alas, Brave New Babylon. That would be my other third pick.
I got to tell you, you've got some very good reading material on your site that I want to make sure that people know for sure your site, because it's going to be eye-opening for them, number one. Plus, it's good reading.
I'm very blessed with a lot of readers. Even though I have very little notice, I'm blessed with many readers. You can just look at my books and count the reviews and what they are, and then look at some other books. And that's what counts. I mean, that's one of the metrics to follow. Okay, and just read the reviews. Now, I have a certain style of writing. Doesn't appeal to everybody. I understand that. Some people like it, you know, more at the Lee Child, very spare and lean end, and I'm not that way, so I get it. But I mean, I have a lot of readers, but what I want them to read the most are the short stories I've written recently, because I think time is running out. You can only reach the reachable. I'm trying to reach people.
Okay, you know? What happens if? Well, let's put a scenario out there, Matt. What happens if we're only reaching the people that are listening? You know what? To this situation right now.
Oh, I think that the odds are very slim that everything is on an even keel a decade out from now. I think that there are a lot of folks. I mean, I'm picturing the rare cowardly German officers trying to leave the Eastern Front or trying to leave the Normandy area during the breakout. You know, that they know. They're telling their soldiers, fight into the last trench, use your last cartridge, but they're loading champagne into the Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? They're heading for the south of France. But they don't tell the soldiers, abandon hope, men. Run for your lives. They don't. They tell the troops, everything's fine. You know, the recovery is working. Very smart people have this whole financial situation figured out. You know, I think that we're going to reach a trigger point. It could be in our cities. This summer, I could see maybe that we get one or two more Fergusons, one or two more Trayvon Martins, and then say these Baltimore police are acquitted because they can't pin anything specific on anybody. They can't, like, give everybody a 6% apportionment of guilt, or a 1/6, rather. You know, so if those guys walk in August, we could have huge riots. That's another of my short pieces. Well, that's short, actually. I would encourage people to read When the Music Stops, How Our Cities May Explode in Violence.
Oh, that's good. That's a good read.
Yeah, because, I mean, if anything that we're now like a beehive, a modern city, a big city, is like a beehive or a big ant colony, underground ant colony. You cannot just say that all the bees are all the ants. Oh, we have a problem in the beehive right now. Everybody fly over there and, like, land on that parking lot and come back in 3 or 4 days. The hive has to work all the time or it collapses. Anything that cuts off the food coming into the cities, anything that cuts off the power cuts off the food, anything that cyber contaminates and corrupts, say, something like the electronic benefit transfer system, anything that causes a big hiccup in that system, our cities go loco weed in, like, days.
Well, you're talking grids.
if the grid goes down, if the computer networks that are the muscle system versus the nerve system, you can't say, well, everything's fine in your body except your spine was severed, but everything else is fine, so you should be good to go. 99% of you is unharmed, right? Just your spine is kind of severed there at the neck. Well, we have many vulnerabilities like that. Anything that disrupts the functioning of the big city, the food, the energy, our cities are now powder kegs even when it's running. Look at Baltimore. They're not starving. They're not hungry. You know, compared to most of, say, people in Africa or other impoverished, really impoverished regions, they would look at an American city dweller that's on disability and welfare and so forth and say, you got it made, Jack. You got a big screen TV, a car, a smartphone. You're poor and pissed off. Let's trade places. So it's not the poverty level that's causing our cities to be powder kegs. It's the psychological battle terrain that's been prepared where there's so much anger and hate being built up, has been built up.
Well, it's been
our cities are going to explode if the power goes out.
Let me ask you this quick question. We know the last 6 years or whatever it's been has really been a racial divide, number one.
Oh, intentionally created.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Purposeful.
But
it's part of the whole strategy. You have to bring it all down. You have to create revolutionary climate. People don't have a revolution on full bellies. You know, you've got to have food riots. You've got to have conflict that can justify bringing in heavy forces and martial law. So, yeah, being a student of Marxism, Marxism-Leninism, Obama knows what Lenin said was the worse the better. When his advisors were saying, you know, people are starving, they're blaming us now, he said the worse the better. Because then you can really change the society. If you get people starving, they beg for the soldiers to come in with martial law. They view martial law as liberation from anarchy and hunger.
My gosh.
You know, if you have to smash the society down, then people are happy to see the man on the white horse or the new constitution, whatever it's going to take. But you have to smash it down, and that's what he's in the process of doing now. I see it very likely we're going to have a huge conflict in Iran, with Iran. Huge, huge chance of that.
He's okay, so what do you think the result's going to end up being, though, really? Because I agree with you. There's going to be – something's going to happen with Iran.
It won't be his decision because he's not a decision maker. He hid under – during Benghazi, he was hiding under his bed, so he wouldn't be put on the spot to grant cross-border authority. People still don't understand Benghazi because they think there has to be a stand-down order. Their reporters are too damn stupid to understand the concept of cross-border authority. Only the president can give it. You don't have to tell anybody to not rescue them from Italy because the people in Italy can't go until they have the president's direct order to cross a border. Okay? So they still anyway.
See, nobody reports that.
He's not going to do anything, but it doesn't matter. It didn't matter if one of the kings in Hungary or Austria or Germany or England was competent or not competent when 1914 happened, when August 1914 happened. It could be an Egyptian destroyer fires a missile at an Iranian destroyer, or vice versa, and the whole thing explodes like World War One. Everything just goes off after that. We shot down the. Do you remember the Vincennes shot down an Airbus full of passengers?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when the Iraqis, when we weren't fighting Iraq, when we were having hassles with Iran longer, even before we were having hassles with Iraq? Iraq accidentally launched an Exocet missile and practically blew a ship called the Stark out of the water. It was lucky it didn't sink.
Yeah.
Many people died burning. That kind of scenario, those were like professional militaries. Whoops, there goes an Exocet. Hope that ship's got insurance. You know? So something like that happens in the Gulf of Aden or the Gulf of wherever. It doesn't matter because Obama won't have to make a decision or not. He's just set up the conditions where the whole thing will ignite.
Okay, well, we got another issue here with Obama and his what he can and cannot do. We got a Congress that lets him get away with everything.
Yeah, I at a certain point you have to look at cause and effect and understand people's behavior and look at the results of what they actually do. And I operate under the assumption that Bonner, three people, just imagine how easy it is for three people to be corrupted or co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is the Chicago way. This is what they brought from Chicago.
Exactly.
And Obama was elected by having other people torpedoed. He didn't, like, do grassroots and campaign. What he did was declare for a candidacy, and then at the, like, you know, a month before the election, sealed divorce records get splashed all over page one, and you have somebody dropping out of the race, then they got to bring in some dude from out of state who has no chance. That's the Chicago way.
Yeah,
so this is like dealing with the mafia. These guys are ends justify the means. Remember Obama said, if they bring a knife, you bring a gun? He wasn't kidding, right? That's the Chicago way. That's the metamorphosis of the Communist Party and mafia. That's the Chicago way. Communism plus mafia, Chicago way. Anyway, I assume that the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, Bonner, and McConnell are all under control. They'll go out on TV and they'll say, I'm a conservative and I want to fix the border. But but they're completely under control. Imagine how easy it is. Remember Chicago Way, Fast and Furious. Hundreds killed on purpose. So the morality part, you got to be like, don't be like a Quaker who can't believe that somebody's actually robbing them, okay? You got to live in the real world. These are mafia plus communism Chicago Way. So they play hardball. They use secret records. They control people. So if you have a nominal House Majority Leader, Senate Majority Leader, Supreme Court Justice, and they have a pattern of jumping 180 degrees at the moment of truth, like John Roberts with Obamacare,
right.
You write your whole brief on the basis of how the 101 reasons why I'm going to reject this, and then a half an hour before, somebody whispers in your ear or shows you some old pictures, and the next thing you know, you're turning right around and going the other way. Cause and effect.
Do you think that like Boehner and Justice Justice
those
Roberts?
Three.
Do you think that they are being threatened? I mean, their families. I mean,
oh yes, oh totally. They're under mafia control. They're totally under control.
So it's
if you
so
went
it's
into
not,
Beirut, if you went into Beirut or Baghdad. Mm-hmm. You know, the week after shooting has stopped during the latest outbreak of the Civil War, and there's one liquor store that's open, and it never got touched. And it's like, gee, what a miracle, you're still in business. What are the odds that those guys have mafia protection or do not have mafia protection? And every other store was burned down, but one wasn't. Now, maybe it's just luck, but I look at it, I look at the patterns of conduct, I look for these patterns, I would have to say McConnell, Bonner, and John Roberts are under control. So we can't look for support there. There's no hope there. Unless, you know, there's like a total clean out, which will never happen, but it's never going to happen. What I compare this to is the Hitler Enabling Act. When the Reichstag, in one fell swoop, said, okay, we got the huge depression that never quits, you're the bright young man with all the ideas. We give all power to you. Here it is. It's called the Enabling Act. Tomorrow you're in charge. Make up rule by emergency decree. It's all good. Signed, the Parliament. Okay? Now, we're not having something signed, Senate and White and House. We surrender. Obama, you're in charge. Do what you want. Let illegal immigrants vote by millions and millions. We don't care. We'll never fight it. Okay? The only way that that happens is because McConnell and Bonner are under control. Doesn't matter if it's blackmail or what. They're under control. They'll talk conservative, and then they'll vote the way that the masters want.
Realistically, Matt, for 2016, we'll give you an example. The upcoming presidential election, 2016, it isn't going to matter who's running. The person that's running...
It's very interesting because Hillary is a worse candidate now. I'm old enough to remember Nixon in 68. You know, he had the big resume, but he was tricky dick to a lot of the world. You know, even though he had been pretty effective vice president under Eisenhower, he had made a lot of enemies and made a kind of a fool out of himself with the Checkers speech, etc. So it was a big comeback for him in 68 to be elected as like the competent guy, Mr. Resume, right? Mm-hmm. But he was not a likable person. Well, Hillary doesn't even have his resume. I mean, everywhere she's gone, it's turned to absolute, you know, Sierra Hotel, right? I mean,
right.
Everything she's touched, what she can say, I racked up a lot of miles, but like I supported the Arab Spring in the old Middle East, it blew up and we're like, we got like five embassies we've been kicked out of, and Iran's in charge of three more countries. So that's a total failure. She can't say I was a great Secretary of State. She was a disaster. And she's ugly and old, and she's attached to this grubby, you know, paying for access millions and millions of dollars to their foundation, which they spend 90% on themselves having champagne Learjet parties. And if a nickel trickled down to a poor kid, it's a miracle. So it's just a slush fund. The fact that she's even not being laughed off the stage by the media tells you all you need to know. And whether Hillary is elected or I would say probably a Neil Bush is elected, or Jeb rather. Jeb Bush is elected.
Yeah.
The show goes on. But at some point, it doesn't matter what of these fools is nominally in the White House. External forces are going to bring the whole house down. I mean, the currency cannot, you can't just keep borrowing half of your operating expenses from your grandchildren forever. You know, it's nature's way. Eventually, you get kicked in the teeth. That's what von Mises has said, and everybody else, that, you know, you just can't keep extending credit. You can either kick the can down the road and try to get another year, but the further you kick the can down the road, it results in a total collapse at the end of the road. And none of them have the strength or courage to do what they need to do, so it's going to all square, it's going to collapse at one time.
I think that's been coming for some time, and it's going to happen anyway.
But our cities absolutely detonate in that case. It will not be safe to be anywhere near a city when that happens, because when cities are suddenly cut off from their food, they go ballistic. It's really ugly. I mean, I feel sorry for Nepal, but the whole world is flying in to help them as best they can. Or like a Katrina situation, you know, 49 states aren't really affected, or 48 states aren't affected. So the whole country comes rushing to your help. If all of our cities go off the grid, if all of our cities get a cyber hack that causes credit cards and nothing else to work, meaning you can't get free food at Walmart, at the supermarket while you buy any of your kids, it's all EBT. They don't care if it's food or not. People have the misconception it's food stamps. EBT is just a benefit transfer. It's
right.
Your money.
Right.
It's all rolled into one. Your welfare, your disability, your food, everything.
Let me ask you this. You know, then, so getting back to Jade Helm and what we've talked about up to this point, and the federalizing of local police, do you really think that that these exercises will eventually lead to martial law in this country?
Not necessarily, and that's why I'm hoping for some pushback from some ethical generals that will say, no, if the scenario is we go into a town, we roust everybody out of an apartment, and we drive them into white vans driven away by Americans, I would say, General, if you're playing that game, then you're on the wrong side. Okay? So I'm hoping that there is some pushback. I, for example, would like to push this meme of the armband. I want all role players with big air quotes around it. I want all role players wearing a clearly identifiable jade helm. No real undercovers where we're just supposed to be mind-effed by seeing, like, hijackings occurring in downtown and just walk the other way, because that's just conditioning. That's conditioning to be helpless and turn away when you see a little, you know, role being played out. If this is part of the drill, then let them wear, a unique armband so we can all play, oh, there's the jade helm guy. Cool. You know, but in broad strokes, this is how I look at it. I think that there's at least three levels of understanding of this. I would say largely, you know, this is broad stripes, because you can't just say this is where people are smart or dumb or wise or foolish. But I would say majors and down participating, their segment of the pie, they will say it's just like a Robin Sage back in good old North Carolina, you know, which took place between four or five counties, not four or five big Western states, okay? But they'll buy it. At the colonel to brigadier stage, I would say that they may have an inkling that the actual reason is the powers that be are afraid of a collapse, and it's sort of a continuity of government operation. You know, continuity of operations, continuity of government, that if the grid goes down or something like that, we have to really have smart people ready to zoom around and do what needs to be done, you know, to fix the grid or what have you, because things could get out of control so fast.
Do you think we have those kind of people?
Their understanding. Because you have to have a reason for, like, an Operation Valkyrie. This is sort of like an Operation Valkyrie. This is a plan for mobilizing everybody, okay? From the local police on the beat to the federal agencies, state police, county sheriffs, the government bureaucracy, the waterworks people. It's a huge mobilization exercise in the United States. It has nothing to do with parachuting Green Berets into an area as big as Egypt to Iran and Syria to Yemen. That's foolish to believe that the man who couldn't rescue Benghazi is contemplating that, and that's why we need to practice something from California to Texas and Colorado. You know, it's ridiculous. But the junior guys do believe it, absolutely. The senior guys probably believe that that's the excuse, and what they're really doing is like a continuity of government exercise, but that's kind of scary to lay on people.
It sure
we
is.
Have to practice having everybody running off of one script during a big emergency. The damn EPA, I'm sure, is here. I mean, everybody is here. DHS. But general, you know, I have no way of knowing. I expect some plain, you know, civilian Fusion Center kids and analysts possibly to listen to this at some point. And I would say, please keep, you know, children, keep the big picture in mind. Don't just look through the little lens they've assigned you to look through. Look around at the bigger picture. What's being done is a practice for in the Valkyrie type of an operation. That's what we're practicing. Total synthesis of all federal control from big army, you know, division level, all the way down to county sheriffs.
Well, you know,
and
people
don't
people,
try to
Matt,
tell us that it's practice for the Middle East because we're not stupid.
But you know, people, Matt, are really concerned, truthfully. Even those that that aren't, you know, really voicing their opinion that much, they are concerned about being controlled because of, number one, you've got not only a corrupt government.
Totally.
But
look at Hillary. The fact that she's not – that doesn't have rotten eggs thrown at her everywhere she goes. And is there anybody more corrupt in this country? I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars for pay-to-play from foreign governments?
Well, the point I'm getting at, though, and I think we're on the same page. It's just that the fact of the matter is there are people out there that are concerned that one of these days, and then this is a hypothetical conspiratorial thought that I would just throw out there. One of these days, you know, people are thinking in their mind that they're going to walk out their door, go down, try to drive out their driveway, and some guy military man's going to be at the end of the driveway saying, "Where do you think you're going? Where are your papers?" You know, you've got people out there thinking like that.
I think that the way that, you know, in a larger sense, in a long-term sense, I consider what's happening in the land that I love to be the Sovietization of the United States of America, turning it into the USSA. So we're going definitely in that direction. Now, for the security services, whether it was the USSR or the USSA, the security service guys, number one, they're granted incredible level of perks over the average folks. And that becomes even more important the worse the conditions get outside in the larger economy. You know, when you have your own military-style commissary exchange, commissary that's like government grocery stores exchange, that's like a government Walmart, everything's cheaper. Well, it's also available for the KGB guys back in the USSR. They get their gas on post, so to speak. They don't have to wait in line for everything like the peasants outside in the greater economy. So as we Sovietize in America, the security agencies in particular, all government agencies. I mean, a guy working at the IRS, he's got it made. He's making a fortune for, like, you know, being a C student at, like, a state junior college.
Oh, yeah.
He's making six figures, you know, affirmative action half the time. So yeah. You've got a large strata of people beholden to the government for their way of living, and they love it. And the security guys are also given pep talks saying, if we drop the ball, gentlemen, all anarchy breaks loose. We're like preserving what hope there is of survival, because if the cities go completely ballistic, there'll be fires that we can't put out. But we're
let me ask you this:
paid the big bucks, and we have the power.
Well, yeah, but
they're going to support. There are powerful forces supporting the Sovietization of the USS of the United States. So I'm saying
a lot of people support
the Sovietization.
They love the state.
Mark Levine calls them statists. I agree with that. But it's
worse. I do too. Let me ask you this quick question. Do you think that we're headed for a civil, you know, I mean, the people have just an uprising from this country Because of what's happening to the United
States
of America?
No, there won't be any uprising. People don't have uprisings on full bellies. As long as you can switch over and watch a football game and drink a beer and have a hot dog, there won't be a revolution. The people that actively foment revolutions have to create the revolutionary conditions where everybody's out in the street banging pots and pans and screaming bloody murder. That ain't going to happen. And anything short of that, keep in mind, anything short of that will be portrayed by American Pravda, what I call ABC and NBCBS.
Oh, yeah.
The New York Times, the Washington Post, and a few others. American Pravda will portray any kind of an uprising. Let's say another Waco happens.
Exactly.
Only this time it's like a Tea Party rally, and they're like machine gunned like Tiananmen Square, all right?
Yep.
When you turn on New York Times, it's going to say, dangerous nest of radicals, neutralized by heroic federal agents. Because that's what it's going to be.
Well,
so there's not going to be any uprising. So anybody that gets pushed into a corner where they do an Alamo situation, like Bundy Ranch goes Waco.
I was just going to bring that one up.
Yeah, when Bundy Ranch goes Waco, in the national media, it will be, thank God, well, actually, thank Gaia, that a dangerous nest of militia terrorists was stopped before it could cause mayhem. It's the USSA. We're becoming the USSA. And as long as everybody's got 100 channels and 100 video games they can watch, which is just mental exercise.
Right.
It's free soma. It's as good as soma, and you get that too if you need it, because you can go on disability. If you just say I can't work, you do the paperwork long enough, they give you a pay to do nothing.
Oh,
so this is a society that's ripe for collapse. But I just don't want to be around a city when it happens.
Well, I don't either. And and what concerns me are my to be honest with you, I think of my children or my grandchildren.
I feel very blessed that I lived when I lived. The golden age, happy days was happy days. I mean, it was called that for a reason.
It sure was. people had their issues.
Beach Boys, Surfing USA. I mean, it was great.
Compared to today, it was a perfect day.
Look at it, and I see all kinds of signs of just civilizational decay that are very dangerous. I would encourage people to read my longer short story, almost a micro novella called Alas, Brave New Babylon. If you just Google Matt Bracken, Alas, Brave New Babylon, you can read it, bang, right like that. But there are a lot of signs along the way that things are going to have a collapse. If you just study the rise and fall of previous civilizations, anybody that has that kind of knowledge and education is backing away from big cities and buying lots of food and figuring out where the water would come from if the power went out. Because the hives can't exist unless they're running full speed. Anything disrupts the power going into the hive, the whole hive goes out of control. And that's where we are.
Let me ask you, Matt, real quick. Speaking of, the grids, we got so many possibilities of Korea, Iran, any number of countries.
We're bowling with nitroglycerin in a dynamite factory. I mean, I see it like a fireworks factory with about 10 fuses leading into it. And it doesn't matter which fuse is the one that hits the dynamite pile first, because the big weakness is the same. That our cities have become these extremely complex organisms, like a hive, where I saw the promo for one of these cheesy disaster flicks, and they're talking about evacuating New York City. Come on, you can't evacuate New York City. Where do they go? They just go out and sit on Long Island somewhere? Then what? A week from then, what? After New York's a crater, then what? Look, it doesn't work. The city has to work, or it fails completely. And failure is almost assured because of 10 different fuses that are burning towards the dynamite factory that we're all living in. I'm saying move away from that dynamite factory. Because that's what a city is today, a dynamite factory. Look at Baltimore. It's a dynamite factory, and they're all fat, dumb, and happy. They got a smartphone. They got a full belly. EBT system is working. Now they may feel disrespected, and they may feel worthless and unemployed, and they don't know who to turn to. But as much and we, you and I, understand that socialism and the Democrats killed them like they killed reservation Indians by making them into dependents and punishing any kind of work.
Matt, I
but
gotta
that doesn't matter.
You.
It's still going to explode.
Matt, I got to interrupt you. I hate to say this, but we got about 10 seconds, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, Let's send me a link. So send me a link to the podcast.
Will do, buddy. And thanks again. This is Neil Douglas. It's been America Truth Finders. Have a great night, folks.